This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to me, Ahmad Fuad Rahmat.
I'm Vizla Kumarisen.
And this is Digital Desires, the show that explores how screen culture is changing human interaction. We have Samuel Lim back in the studio with us this time to talk about TikTok. And for those who are unacquainted, can you just explain to them what TikTok is? Because I realize there's a generational gap here in terms of what this thing even is for. So why don't you start with describing what TikTok is for listeners?
Okay, for listeners, especially those of a more millennial or Gen Z disposition, you remember applications like Dubsmash or Musical.ly. TikTok is the newest incarnation of that. The basic general concept is you mouth over a certain song or a certain audio file, and it's supposed to be used for laughs or to make a point or to be insightful or funny. Really insightful, to be honest. Most of the time, it's for a goof and a gaff. Or there has been this strange sort of transformation things where they do a cut from the person looking like this, and then as the song plays, they become more beautiful or handsome. That's frankly just ridiculous.
So it's lip syncing, but on a completely different level.
Oh yeah. It's not going anywhere anytime soon. It's staying right here, as it seems.
So much so that Facebook is releasing its own version.
Yeah, Lasso. Yeah,
right. I've seen some of these. What, tic-tac-toe? What is it? This thing. Yeah, I've seen a bit of it. And I'm surprised at how accurate the lip-syncing is. Now, is that aided by the app? Does the app do that? Or are the users that good at lip-syncing? I mean, what's the interaction like?
We haven't reached the level where technology can mimic our mouths. God help us if we do. But this is where I have to admit, much to my dread, that there is a certain art form in lip syncing.
Yeah, I'm starting to notice that. Yeah.
So a lot of the people on TikTok take it very seriously. I mean, it's for them, it is a quote unquote art form.
Yeah.
And it's a serious way for them to express themselves, for them to express their love for a particular kind of music, for the art of making music videos. What else?
Or just goofing off, right? You just want to be irreverent.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? And it seems like, at least how I found out about it was this year, it dominated Raya. Like,
yes.
Everybody's cousins of cousins of cousins were just using TikTok, you know. And I wasn't getting it because a lot of them were younger. But then by the fourth day of Raya, a lot of the aunties were doing it too.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, so, but then I thought it was this like a small segment of the population. And then I realized like how big it was, you know, that. Yeah.
But I mean, I took it also as all these kids, you know, / young people were out of the city, maybe even against their own will. You know, they didn't consent to this, and they're forced to engage in all these rites and rituals and traditions, and they're just bored.
Yeah, it could be
right?
that too.
It could just be. Yeah. It started with these kids being bored and trying to occupy their time and trying to entertain themselves and each other.
Yeah, exactly.
And then the uncles and aunties caught on. Like, you know, they wanted their 15 seconds of fame.
Yeah.
And there has been a growing sort of culture for that. In fact, I think our current culture sort of fosters that, because I'm not sure if you know, but Jimmy Fallon had a whole lip-syncing battle that he's had for a while, and he's made it quite a phenomenon at this point.
And apparently now Stephen Merchant also has his own show on lip-sync battle.
Yeah, exactly. So, I really picked up on what you said about 15 minutes of fame, because when people get on that, they really want to put it out there. Because if you're a traditional workaday dad, you want to sort of put out that image that I have dimensions. I have a life outside of my co-workers and my occupations. I can be fun. I can be rad like these kids.
Hip.
I can be hip. Yes.
Yeah. But I also find it interesting that, you know, what lip sync indicates is that you can be someone else by being yourself too. It's so, you can occupy those two spaces because you're puppeting someone else's voice, but with obviously your rendition, right? Because it's your image, right? So, and it gives you that, I guess, quote unquote, liberty to play with personas in that sense. Mm. I think that's one of the fun behind it, right? That for like 5 seconds, you can be like a K-pop singer, you know, even though you're in a kampung, right? Yeah. So that's interesting.
But this isn't new. I mean, I remember when I was in college, when I was in university, we would have lip-sync battles where we would lip-sync entire songs. And, you know, we took it seriously. And so there were multiple categories of competition. You were either a solo performer or you were a band performer.
Okay.
So
maybe it would be lip syncing.
Yeah, maybe it's something that just happened, you know, where I went to university.
So this predates the modern net.
It does, you know, and it was before, you know, smartphones, so we couldn't record any of these things.
Wow.
So it's gone, all those things. But we took it seriously. Like, we would dress up.
I'd love to find some surviving footage of this.
This is like an oral tradition brought back to the written media. Wow.
We would dress up, you know, and we would watch the music video and we would try to repeat moves, or we would watch the band. Like, I joined the band performance. So we would watch the band in concert. And so we would emulate, you know, how they moved and acted.
But this is like organized by the school.
No, it was organized by some of the local night spots. And this is what we did over the weekends.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Right? So, and this is what students did, I suppose, you know, especially
that's
around
true.
Exam times.
That's,
you know,
true. That's
do.
True.
So there's been an established, I'm just trying to wrap my head that there's been an established history of lip syncing.
Yes. You know, lip syncing is new.
I guess what this has done is provided the option to more people who never thought about it. Thought about the fun.
Yes, and of course you can do this in the privacy of your own home, and you get a viewer. Like, for us, it was something that was done. It was very, very public.
Yeah.
So we knew we were going to perform, and some of us needed aids in order to feel confident to perform.
Yeah.
And you don't have to do that. Yeah. You're doing it in your own home.
What I find interesting about TikTok is that it's an antidote to the other platforms that tend to veer on the more serious side, right? Twitter and Instagram, you know, the tone is more austere. I wouldn't say austere, but there's a certain gravitas there that TikTok doesn't even invite. If you're going to be on TikTok, you got to be ready to make fun of yourself.
Oh, yeah.
You know? I think that's very refreshing as a social media platform.
Exactly. Right? And I found, I find I derive the most joy from TikTok, especially when I watch those compilations of TikTok, especially when they're titled cringe compilations.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they've been such a source of joy for me to be able to watch it. Yeah, but I've come to realize something about people who especially watch these cringe compilations. They actually have, I'll break it down. There's three theories in comedy. There's incongruity, relief theory, and superiority theory. And a lot of people often, when they watch, TikTok videos, especially cringe compilation, some of them derive that sense of joy from superiority theory when they say things like, "Thank God that's not me," or "I'm like, I can sing way better than them," and they just show it because it makes us feel alive. It makes us feel better when somebody lives vicariously through us.
Yep.
So they've embarrassed themselves so I don't have to.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you feel safe in a way, right? Because they're there and I don't have to be, you know, or they're there and I can just enjoy it. I can feel like you said, security in that moment of like feeling power, right?
Yeah.
Because you're looking at someone else.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, you know, this isn't new either, right? Because even before TikTok, we watched there's so many shows that are popular where people make complete asses out of themselves, and we laugh at it. Jackass, for example, right?
Aptly named,
aptly named.
Yeah.
So this isn't something that's new, but
even just something slapstick comedy for the longest time, right?
Yeah.
I mean, in the 80s, it was still a thing. I mean, today too, in some sense, you know, when you have, oh my God, I was going to say Dumb and Dumber, but that was how long ago?
Well, the sequel came out a couple
of
years ago.
It's Dumb and Dumber too, but it's spelled T-O.
Yeah. So it's not that, wasn't that long ago.
But I think what's interesting is that you know, before you had certain archetypes that will end up doing this for us. Mm-hmm. Now everybody can be that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think that's the interesting part, right? Yeah. Because you'd think everybody just wanted to be like the Ashton Kutcher or like the Natalie Portman types, where you know the sort of the esteem is typically
higher, for
higher,
them.
Right? Yeah. And that's what you want. But it turns out, you know, being silly has a lot of cultural capital. I don't know, but yeah, that's what it looks like, right?
It is. And being silly, especially for people who are involved in TikTok, provides a sense of relief both for them and for us, because media has formed a sort of theater in that sense, where I can relive these, for example, strange sexual fantasies or situations without having to ever admit that I've been involved in them. For example, I watch these videos of girls literally while they're doing the Kiki challenge, like stripping down as they're moving on. And I was so shocked about it. And then I realized, wow, a lot of these people are living through it. That they don't, that they wish they could do it, but they
couldn't.
Right. Yeah. There's a sense of like liberty in mm-hmm. that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, actually, I was going to say the same thing. You know, all of us, I think, want to be able to be silly, but in everyday life, we always have to present this persona, which is cool, calm,
collective.
In control, collected.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I think especially for women. Because otherwise, you know, it's very easy to ridicule women. As it is, it's quite easy. And if you don't behave a certain way, you're going to be called out on being incompetent or whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah.
And all of a sudden, you've got this platform where technically you can be yourself. You can do these things that you've always wanted to do. And given the opportunity, you would do it. But because it's mediated through a platform where it is about being silly.
Everybody else is doing it.
Yeah. And it's just a few seconds. So what, you know, who's going to hurt? How is it going to hurt?
Yeah, exactly. And it's especially liberating because in an Asia honor shame culture, there's always a constant emphasis that you have to perform a certain way, or there's a certain sort of acceptable presentation of the self. You need to be able to be articulate. You also have to be able to be competent, sociable, respectful. So when you have something like TikTok, it's wildly liberating for a lot of young people, especially those who are just getting a taste of it.
Mm. Right, right. Yeah. Interesting stuff. Mm. So let's take a break. We are discussing TikTok here with Samuel Lim, alongside Visa Kumarisan and myself, Ahmad Fuad Rahman, on Digital Desires on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, we're talking about TikTok today on Digital Desires. I'm Ahmad Fuad Rahman, alongside Visa Kumarisan as usual, and our guest this week is Samuel Lim. Thank you for giving us an overview of the empowering effects of TikTok. What else comes to mind when you observe how this has really grown as a platform?
Well, frankly, I'm not surprised by it, because micro video formats have been around since all the way back to 2012, I think.
Mm. Yeah.
Especially with the inception of Vine recently, it's become such a tool for everyone to be able to express themselves. And advertisers love it to death. Because think about it, you only need to pump up 10 seconds of content, but the amount of engagement with it is insane.
Right, right. Yes.
So it's cheap. It can be easily mass-produced. All you need to do is have an individual be in a silly situation. But I've noticed that in time, TikTok, Vine videos, and even Insta stories have become a lot more complicated as the tools you can utilize, such as different filters, editing methods. So far, I have yet to see TikTok breach into the same level as YouTube videos, because YouTube videos are a league of itself because they have a certain sort of natural inbuilt engagement. I'm watching a YouTube video, so I feel compelled to watch it all the way to the end. So it hasn't quite reached that institution of YouTube and Facebook, but I predict that it will soon be reaching this. Mm. Yeah.
But Vine didn't last. I mean, it was something that took a lot of people. I mean, it took the phone world and internet by storm, but it died off very quickly. So what makes you think that TikTok is going to have a different future?
Oh, if I'm being cynical, TikTok will probably, in an endless battle of mergers and acquisitions, I wouldn't be surprised if TikTok got absorbed by another conglomerate or another media company. Mm. But the format itself is lucrative. Therefore, the format itself lives on. Vine is dead, but its legacy still haunts us till this day. So, yeah.
In what sense do you mean that? What's Vine's legacy?
Vine's legacy. Frankly, because I did a research on Vine for my dissertation, it was with regards to the comprehension skill and attention skills of teens in the Klang Valley, and I've realized that Vine has created and popularized micro video formatting to the point where we've become a culture that consumes media at such a rapid rate. If you can't engage with me literally in the first 2 seconds of a video, I'm lost.
Right,
I'm gone. So now this places a greater emphasis on the visual, on the auditory, not so much on textuals anymore. So,
right. Yeah. How about Snapchat? What's going on with that?
Snapchat. People use it. Snapchat has yet to explode into Instagram fame or TikTok's 20 minutes of fame.
Yeah.
It's a little longer than 15, so yeah.
Yeah.
Snapchat has always remained a more homely, a more personal device. You want people to watch your snaps because I have heard stories of snaps being used for even sexual or for dirty reasons. So I've thought, wow, okay. I've never seen that with Vine. I've never seen that with InstaStory. So I'm assuming that perhaps Snapchat is a lot more personal and less growing as a media platform. Yeah. So
TikTok has a very clear entertainment value.
Yes, it does. And as it stands now, it will continue to grow, especially with the fact that it just absorbed musically, which is a part of the American user base. So now it has more users, both in Asia and in the West. So as it stands now, TikTok has positioned itself in a very strategic position where it can start to influence and even grow in influence over certain societies, cultures, like us. So yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about the value of its dispensability, right? So the interesting thing about Snap is that whatever you upload will just fade.
Yeah.
Right. So you have just that moment to engage. Now, is TikTok like that too? After you do your whatever, does it just sort of like fade like Insta stories or?
Well, from what I can understand, you can actually time it. Mm-hmm. So for Instagram, it's very clear. Mm-hmm. You only have a very limited time. Mm-hmm. The most you can have is save it at the site and have a sort of visiting story people can visit, but it won't constantly be on your feed or other people's feed as well.
Right.
TikTok, I can see almost becomes sort of a prescription. For example, I like this person who does it this way, so I'm going to keep watching him.
Mm-hmm.
So for TikTokers, people who actively engage with TikTok, if they do want to become active content producers, they're going to have to start timing it well enough in knowing when can I receive peak viewership and when is it time to gracefully fade away.
So wait a minute. You're saying that some people are building entire personalities of TikToking?
Yeah.
Wow.
They're becoming little celebrities.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you hear about Viners, right? But now I guess we can call some people TikTokers.
Yeah.
Right.
TikTokers, yeah. Interesting you mentioned Vine because the same thing happened with Vine. Because it started off with Logan Paul, King Bach, all these popular comedians who were just Viners, but then they realized I needed to adapt. I needed to maximize.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, if any of these TikTokers were to move over to YouTube, I wouldn't be too surprised.
Right.
Mm. Yeah. If TikTok was to, let's say, take a fall of some sort. Yeah.
Right, right.
Mm.
Would they be carrying the same kind of activities into YouTube, though? Because TikTok is quite specific, isn't it?
Oh, yes. This is where I foresee a possible problem. Because Logan Paul, King Bach, had a very specific sort of personality type. They could still work with that. I'm doing comedy, therefore, it makes sense that I do comedic vlogs. They're just almost sort of like sitcom episodes at this point.
Yeah.
Not very well written, but nonetheless, I still believe is written. But for TikTok, on the other hand, if you're working off copyright music and your whole shtick is music, you're going to have a bit of trouble trying to transfer that musical personality onto YouTube, which is very stringent on copyright policies.
Mm-hmm.
So, although it is possible, I do believe that certain TikTok personalities, if they position themselves the right way, maybe not play up the musical talent so much, but maybe more of their personal quirkiness, it could be possible. But as it stands, it's quite unlikely for a lot of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it takes a little bit of more, not a little bit, a lot of creativity and a real focus on building a certain kind of personality to make that move from TikTok to YouTube.
Yeah. But for TikTokers, I'd say pray your medium doesn't go under. Pray.
Yeah.
Because the frontier is breached. There are juggernauts there. There are giants. You have to contest with Jake Paul, Logan Paul, Jacksepticeye, all sorts of YouTube personalities. And you are going to be slaughtered if you cannot find a way to move your viewer base into that category.
There's a sense in which the fact that TikTok clips are so brief, right, makes you wonder, how long can we entertain silly lip syncing at a given time, right? 5 seconds, sure, why not? 10 seconds, I don't know. 15, a minute, you know, I don't know, right? Because in order for Logan Paul to transition from Vine to YouTube, there must be, just in terms of, purely in terms of quantity of time, there must be something that he knows he can fill up the time with.
Yeah.
But if you're just a TikToker, right, you're going to lip sync for what, 2 minutes on YouTube? I don't know, right? What are you going to do with the extra time that another platform demands, right?
Oh, well, yes, so that's where that savviness comes in, you know, and Logan Paul was, I think, maybe he had access to people who are in the industry who could help him cultivate a persona, or at least I find this very hard to digest, but he must have had a persona that was appealing enough that somebody saw potential with that, and they helped him build it. Like you said, it is written.
Yeah, there are clear guidelines that the investors have placed.
Yes.
You can do this. Please don't film people committing suicide. Please don't burn your house down. So,
the other interesting thing about this world is how they came of age on these platforms.
Yes.
I mean, how old was Jake Paul when he started with his Vines? 13, maybe? I mean, he looked so different back then, like 14 or something. And now, I don't know, now he's 22. I don't know, but...
He started relatively recent, around 2014. So I'm guessing, that's a good guess, around probably 18, 19 years
old. Oh, really? I would say, because I don't know, the early Vine photos I see him in, it looks so different. Like, he was just like a little boy, but... I guess what I wonder is this going to be a more common way of, you know, to come of age, right? That, you know, like, I guess during our time, you like go take up taekwondo lessons and then you do some taekwondo demonstrations and then that's your performance.
Yeah.
But now I guess it's like more, you know, it's on YouTube and you perform there. I mean, I have students who are YouTubers themselves, you know, I mean, they're not big, but they're quite savvy, I would say, you know, and it seems it's an option. It's like a thing to do now, right?
Yeah.
It feels like more and more people want to go that route. So you wonder what adolescence might be in the digital age, right? In terms of... If so much of forming your characters about how comfortably you express yourself, and in this day and age you have all these platforms to do that, then it's quite an interesting model of, you know, growing up, right?
Mm. Yeah. But it's also questioning the very essence of existing, right? I know some of these people, they don't exist unless they are on some kind of platform.
Mm-hmm.
So unless they are in front of a screen, unless they are behind a camera or in front of a camera, they don't exist.
Yes. I have a question, though.
Yeah.
Do you ever believe that TikTokers can be people of substance or create content of substance?
I don't know. It could be anything, right? I mean, I engaged in lip syncing when I was a lot younger. You know, it doesn't, you know, one doesn't negate the other.
Yeah, I suppose. But it becomes difficult because, like what you said, you only exist or you only truly feel like you exist in that medium. So what's frightening is, when does the personality stop?
Yeah.
And when does it start? Because
I have a very, you know, maybe a question that's a bit more scary is, do they even have personalities?
Yeah,
because
yeah.
when you're lip syncing, you take on someone else's personality. You're performing.
Yeah, yeah.
And
wow.
so who are you when you're not performing?
Yeah. Especially when you do perform, you're not even yourself, right?
Yes.
You're someone else's voice.
I mean,
voice.
Like for me, it was a very, yeah. when I was lip syncing, it was very clear. I was channeling the artist I was lip syncing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But I knew who I was.
And
it was
a once in a while thing.
Exactly.
It's not a daily thing.
It's not
right?
a daily thing. I
yeah.
didn't have to upload 15 times a day. You know?
Yeah, it's a once in a while thing, and we laugh it off largely because it's a once in a while thing. But yeah. if,
and when you're yeah. doing it, you know it's fun. You know it's all, you know.
Yeah, nobody had a dissonance in your identity.
No,
nobody ever sang a Beyonce song. I mean, lip sync a Beyonce song
and thought they were Beyonce.
Yeah, yeah. They didn't go home and think, "Mother, is my name Beyonce?"
But there's a kind of neural element to this, right? In that. Your personality starts to solidify at a time when the brain is very plastic.
Yeah.
And the plasticity responds to these stimulants from the external world that tells you this is how you should be or this is how you'll be rewarded, right? And
yeah.
And I know that musically, TikTok musically back then, I mean, kids were using them.
Yes.
Like 9-year-olds and 10-year-olds. And that's when your character is really responding to the world in very sensitive ways, right? And if this is how you experience value at a very young age, like this is how you're valued, right? You wonder, and maybe we're still it's still too early to see any studies on this, but it'll be interesting to see, like how
something else I just
characters
thought,
formed.
Something else I just thought about is that, you know, with Musical.ly and with TikTok, it's highly curated. You take 10, 15, 20, 30 shots of yourself before you find the perfect one. And then you put that on this platform. And then,
so how many takes, right?
How many takes?
Yeah.
And so what does that mean for how you behave in real life?
Yeah, exactly. This sort of dissonance is dangerous for people because
it's making me anxious already.
Yeah. Imagine that you have to constantly put on a different persona, a different character every day, up to the point where it's become as easy as breathing.
Yeah.
So when you're alone and in your quiet moments, because...
Must be maddening.
Yeah, it must be, because I frankly know people who, even though they've never touched a TikTok or a Vine, do put on these different personalities when they are in different social circles or segments of society. And when they get home, they frankly break down and cry. Because
I've had
calls of people telling me, "Who am I? What's going on? I'm with this with my family. I'm with this with my boyfriend. I don't know what to do."
Yeah.
And I tell them, "I don't know."
Yeah. Because, but this is quite common.
Yeah.
This is a normal part of adolescence, that discovering yourself.
Yeah.
Right? And I think, you know, with screens, with platforms like TikTok and all that, I think it just complicates it. And while with adolescence, there is a... Because it's natural, you know you're going to come out of it, or you know that it will be resolved.
Yeah.
But with these platforms, it isn't. And it's being manipulated, and it's being... It's building on something, and it's not natural, and then you're solidifying something else as well.
So almost as if you're forming a sort of artificial layer over the self.
Yeah. Yes.
And one that you're very dependent on. Like, doing a lip sync competition once in a while is a mask you can put on and put aside, and one day
showmanship,
you're going to clear the storeroom and find it and laugh at it, right?
Yeah.
But if you're going to do it like every day, then it's a different level of dependency. I don't think we're really wired to be affirmed by millions of people.
No,
right, because I think like human society like formed largely through small communities, and until recently, I mean, before we had access to 5,000 friends or whatever, right? We just really needed
five
references, cultural references among the few immediate people around us, right? But when you suddenly have this jump from, you know, 3 or 4 scores to like 5,000, 6,000. It's a different demand into your emotional sort of capacity, right? To kind of accommodate that level of expectation. Right?
Exactly, yes.
Yeah. But history has also shown us that for those people who did command that level of, you know, affirmation, right? All the big characters in history, really tragic.
Yeah.
Because there's such a tendency, especially online now, I've noticed, people are either deified or demonized to the degree where it's frankly frightening. To be famous for any reason is frankly quite frightening. I mean, looking at figures like Jordan Peterson, he's either a hero for free speech or he's either a violent right-wing misogynist. So this sort of polarization is frankly quite frightening. So let's say you're known for being a very saintly, homely, sort of happy person. The moment you display any sort of traits that delineate, that violates anybody's ideals of it, you're immediately demonized.
Yes.
It's almost as if society has formed a sort of virgin whore complex.
Yes. Yeah. And it's different with actors. And some people have this relationship with actors as well, right?
Yeah.
So-and-so played this character and this is how I always see them. And then in this other film, they're playing this character and I can't digest it. But it's an actor.
Yeah.
And, you know, they know it. But for people like you and me, we're not actors. And, you know, we are not doing this to act. But there's an expectation that that's what we will be because that's what our online personas have become, whether we like it or not.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
If you're the TikTok girl, you will be the TikTok girl, even unto death, unless something changes.
Yeah.
This conversation has taken a very dark tone.
Yes. I know. What happened to just enjoying being irreverent, right? That was 15 minutes ago. But but it's good to have, I guess, the spectrum exposed. But I guess what I find interesting is how you position yourself, Samuel. I mean, you have perspectives from both worlds, right? Talking to us and also talking to your peers. I mean, do you feel optimistic? Do you feel disturbed? I mean, what's your prognosis?
I'd have to say disturbed. But it's not so much dystopian than it is cyclical because the process will repeat itself.
Right.
A new trend will come. It will be a new way in which we compartmentalize or deify, even objectify ourselves or even do it with other people. And whether it's print, whether it's media, whether it's pictures, whether it's videos, history has a tendency to repeat itself. So we're living in a sort of epoch in which we view the world through a very sort of digital theater lens. But who's to say maybe 5 years from now, there's a great blackout and we start from the ground up. That is my only great hope, that if there is a grand blackout where nobody can remember any sort of history in which we needed to affirm ourselves with millions of people.
The new revolution.
Yes, a new revolution.
Or an asteroid landing here at some point, which can happen anytime, really.
Yeah, exactly. Or an EMP event. I'm not saying anyone should trigger it. It would bring out horrible consequences of itself. But this is what we'd have to accept as it comes with modernity and even post-modernity.
I mean, I try to be open-minded about different innovations, you know, but I'm finding it more and more difficult to do that.
It's okay. Even we are not. like most people who do these TikTok and Vine videos, I tell them, like, we all gather around them afterwards and we even help film them. We tell them, you know you're a joke, right? Nobody cares about you.
Samuel, you know you're enabling them, right?
Yeah.
Can help, please get help.
Full disclosure, Samuel. Full disclosure. Do you have a TikTok account?
No, I do not.
That was quick. No,
we're
it's
not
okay.
going to judge. It's like, I know you signed up to Instagram. Yes. Is TikTok on the horizon?
No, probably not. it takes too much time and dedication, and I'm too lazy for this.
But you have to practice, though.
I do. You know, some things have to go to waste, I suppose.
Oh, yeah. Some parts of us have to die.
Yes.
Maybe should too. Yeah.
So, okay, so what else is next? I mean, like, you're closer to this world. I mean, like, what's next? You think? What's the next wave after TikTok? Like,
well, if it's become a point where we've moved from perhaps full-length vlogs in which we can express ourselves and we've condensed it into mini snippets of our personalities, I'm actually convinced at some point we might have to maybe even condense it even smaller into images or even a sort of sense in which we can push to people. For example, people...
What's smaller than 2 seconds?
Yeah.
Or 3 seconds, yeah.
I'll be honest, I'm frightened and I don't know. Because we have distilled in itself... You know, when you've met somebody and you say, this person has a particular quirk, she's fast-talking, she's charming, she's beautiful, you have distilled that moment of interaction, those years or even months of relationship into 2 seconds, and everyone just says, yes, this is it. I will distill it, I will consume it. And the only thing I could even possibly predict at this point is if we literally just send our charisma and send our senses and send our confidence over to that person, because it's insane how consumerized it is now. Like, what do you think is going to happen in the most Blade Runner sort of fashion?
Yeah, I have no idea. I mean, how far are we from brains in a jar? You know, how far are we from just
not
very.
Yeah, I was just thinking the same thing as you're. If you're talking about that, I was thinking about Altered Carbon.
Yeah,
and I don't know if you've watched it.
Yes, no, I have.
It's on Netflix. It's on Netflix, and it's a series of one. It's only one season, and the premise of the story is that all human beings can be condensed into a little microchip that's inserted in the base of your neck.
Yeah,
and you technically live forever because when one body dies, you can eject this chip and insert it into another body.
Oh, wow. Wow. That is a really interesting point, because imagine that. You could sell not just personalities in the sort of Facebook and media form, but imagine having a personalized Selena Gomez who has an AI file that can know your name and could interact with you quite literally.
Yeah.
You no longer have to have this sort of strange parasocial interaction through screen in which you have to imagine the scenarios.
Yeah.
These scenarios are played out for you.
Wow.
Yeah. And, you know, in the show Altered Carbon, the body doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah.
Right.
Frankly, your body doesn't matter.
Mm.
In fact, it's quite frightening. What if these people die and are their personalities still up for sale? Because we have seen things like Carrie Fisher as her younger self, or even the guy who played Grand Moff Tarkin in Rogue One, I believe. But he wasn't there. It was just an image of him and somebody voicing him.
Oh, mm-hmm. A hologram.
Yeah, a hologram.
Yeah.
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 And that's been used in concerts as well, but like Prince, I think, most recently.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, so I guess... Logan Paul will live forever.
Yeah, this has become strangely dystopian.
Yes, Logan Paul will live forever.
Oh, good grief.
On that note, any concluding thoughts?
I'm still stuck on Logan Paul will live forever.
Oh,
I'm going to have nightmares now.
Yeah, I know. The Sumatran rhino is extinct and Logan Paul will live forever.
Yes.
So I guess that sums it up.
Yeah.
Well... I guess this is just another way to prove that we are indeed exceptional creatures and we don't... Like, if I could give any advice out there, you are exceptional, all right?
You don't need TikTok to tell you that.
Yeah, you do not need TikTok to tell you that. I'm not trying to be your life coach or even your mother, but I'm just telling you, find a girlfriend or a boyfriend or a puppy. Engage in a personal project. Love your fellow man. Have a charity project. I don't care, but... Do not make TikTok your sole identity. Please.
We get the urgency of the situation, Samuel. Thank you for that. Email the show. It's biggerpicture@bfm.my. Do you want to plug your respective social media platforms?
No
handles?
Need. But Digital Desires, we are on Facebook. On Facebook. Please log on to Facebook and type Digital Desires in the search bar there.
Yeah.
My name is Sam. I'm on Movie Dash. You can find us on Facebook. It's spelled MOVIEDSSH. We have all the latest news for you on movies. We also have some pretty well-written analytical pieces I wrote too. So feel free to hop on there and just check us out. Yeah.
Okay, wonderful. That was Samuel Lim on Digital Desires alongside Vizsla Kumarasan and myself. I'm Upfart Rahmat, and this is BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.